Today's reading is from Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. He dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The Lord stood behind him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families on the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Ella. Good job this morning. I invite you to take out your outline for the message today as we hear a sermon ideally designed for our confirmands, but always for the congregation. Before getting into the sermon, I want to highlight a couple of things from announcements. First, our prayer walk that will be after the next service at noon. We're going to meet in the Great Hall and have a meal together and then go to different locations. And if you did not register, that's okay. We have still got space in the different places. We'll receive some training and then head out together. Would love to have you join us for our prayer walk just after noon today. And then this Wednesday's workshop on mental health awareness 101. This is a part of our resisting gun violence efforts that we're putting forward. Among the many issues that go into gun violence in our country, obviously connected to all of the mass killings, is a mental health issue. And the workshop this week is going to be ideally suited for people, particularly managers and supervisors in workplaces, on how to recognize mental health warnings, how to notice the warning signs, what are your rights, your responsibilities, how can you address it? So that will be a very important, helpful workshop this Wednesday. We'd love to have you join us. As we get ready for our message right now, would you join me in a word of prayer? On this special significant day, God, that's a celebration for the whole church, as the faith gets passed on to the next generation, may we feel your presence confirming them, and may we feel a sense of reconfirmation upon our own call to be a part of your family and to be your servants in the world. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So how many of you confirmands grew up when you were little watching the Pixar Disney movie Finding Nemo? How many of you watched Finding Nemo a lot, like all the time, like you memorized all the lines in the movie at some point? Well, it's a good movie. It's about a little fish, Nemo, who's a little rebellious, does what his dad tells him not to, gets caught by some divers, and then, of course, the rest of the movie is all about the dad trying to find Nemo and get him back home. The dad has some help with another little fish. What's her name? Dory, yep, you've seen the movie. And Dory and the dad find Nemo and eventually get Nemo back home. You could say that Finding Nemo and the Bible have a lot in common. They're stories about people who get lost, who want to find their way back home, and the folks who help them get there. You've been learning about the Bible and how the church is the continuing story of the Bible being told right now in our lives today, and how the church is like one big lost and found community. We all are people wanting to get home together, and today you're making an important choice to align yourselves with this community for God's purpose, to help find people. And together, help each other find our way home. So I want to tell you a story today, a story you've probably heard before in your work this year, in your confirmation experience, about a guy named Jacob from the Old Testament. Because Jacob's a great story about a guy who loved his home, but because of some things he did, he had to leave his home. And how, toward the end of his life, he's just simply trying to get back home again. Now, if you've got your outline, you can tell that there's some lessons I want to point out as we go through this story. And the first lesson right off the bat is this: God meets us in unlikely places. God meets us in unlikely places. Now, let's start at the beginning. Jacob had a twin brother, and the twin brother's name was
Esau.
The twin brother's name was Esau. You guys have done your homework. That's right. Esau. Now, Esau, though, was born just a few moments before Jacob. That was a big deal back then, because the oldest sibling got the better birthright blessing and inheritance. How many of you are the oldest in your family? You've got younger brothers and sisters. Wow, that's quite a few of you. Do you ever feel like that your younger brother or sister gets an easier deal than you got? That your parents were a lot harder on you? Yeah, somebody, you put two hands up in the air on that one, didn't you? Yeah, it's not easy being the oldest, but let me tell you what, back in Jacob's day, being the oldest had some benefits. But Jacob's mother favored Jacob. So she told him to go trick his father, her own husband, who couldn't see very well. She said to Jacob, dress up like your brother and go in and act like your brother so that your father will give you his blessing. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that was right? No. Of course it wasn't right. There's a future confirmand back there answering for us, too. I love that. Of course it wasn't right. You know, there's a good lesson right there. There's a good lesson right there. Who are the people in our world who stand the biggest chance of influencing us to do something wrong? It's probably not total strangers. It's probably people we already trust. Sometimes even our own family. Do I hear an amen, church? It's the people we know who can sometimes say, oh, it's no big deal. It ain't gonna matter. It's okay. But you know what? You and I have to be responsible for our choices, nobody else. We can't say, oh, but my mother told me to. Oh, but somebody else said it'd be okay. Whatever we do, we've got to be ready to answer for. And Jacob had to answer for what he did. When his brother came home and found out what had happened, he was mad enough to kill his brother. Have you ever been mad enough at your brother or sister where you said, I am so mad I could just kill you right now? Any of you ever said that? Not that you're willing to admit in church, right? Yeah. Well, you know, that's an awful thing to say, but typically when we say that, we don't really mean it. We just mean we're mad at them. We want to get even. But Jacob believed his brother. He believed his brother was mad enough to kill him. So now, because of what he did, he's got to leave. And he's on the run. And along the way, he spends the night in a place, and of all places, that's where he encounters God, an unlikely place. Now, why do I say it's unlikely? If you had said to Jacob, is your life in a place right now where you're ready to meet God? What do you think Jacob would have said? Oh, not yet. Not yet. I got to get some things straightened out first. I got to make some things right in my life before I meet God. Not today. But you see, God doesn't wait till we get things straightened out in our life to meet us. God comes to us right where we are, wherever we are. And that brings us to another important lesson in this story. The next lesson is God always comes looking for us. God always comes looking for us. So Jacob is on the run, he's on his way, and it says he came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Doesn't that sound scary? The sun had set. He's alone and it's dark. There's a family in the church that I moved here from. Shortly after I moved, they had a scary experience. Their grandson at the time was your age. and he had just joined the Boy Scouts, and he went on his first camping trip. And in the middle of the camping trip, he got lonely and he started missing home. And without telling any of the other scouts or the leaders, he said, "I'm just going to walk home." He didn't tell anybody. He just started walking out of the woods to walk home. Now, it sounds silly, but sometimes when you get scared, you do silly things, don't you? It was November. And when the rest of the troop realized he was missing, they started searching for him. And after a couple of hours, when they couldn't find him, they knew they had to make some phone calls. Called the family, called the authorities, put out an Amber Alert. They started searching the wilderness area of this county. Without any luck, they couldn't find him. But this boy, even though he'd only been in the scouts a couple of months, remembered some things he was taught. They did some survival skill training. He remembered when it gets cold at night and it got below freezing, to burrow down into the leaves and to wrap the leaves over you completely because they'll be like a blanket. And the other most important thing he learned is if you're lost, somebody's probably looking for you. So stay where you are. Once he realized he was lost, he remembered, just stay here. Somebody's probably looking for me. And he got found, and he was okay. What happened to Jacob in this place is he realized he was found by God. He had a dream, and in the dream, he saw this ladder between heaven and earth, and there were angels coming up and down the ladder. What did that mean? That meant that God was in that place with him. So he named the place Bethel. Now, what does Bethel mean? Word Beth in Hebrew means house, B-E-T-H. It means house. And El, E-L, means God. If you're reading the Old Testament anytime and you see a word that ends with E-L, that means that's a word that has something to do with God. Now, we're going to come back to this before the end of the sermon today. Bethel means house of God. In other words, Jacob realized he had not found God in this place. In this place, God found him. It was his confirmation. You see, sometimes we call the church the what? The house of God, right? In that place, he was making a commitment in the house of God, and that's what you're doing here today. You're making a commitment in the house of God to the family of God. And look at what God said in this story to Jacob. The Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring." In other words, God is saying to Jacob, you're part of a spiritual ancestry. You're part of a tradition. And now it's your time to take up your place. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. This is none other than the house of God." Today, you're being invited to take up your place in the tradition. It's bigger than St. Luke's. It's bigger than the Methodist Church. In fact, it's even bigger than Christianity. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. God continues to call people in every generation to be a part of that tradition. And he's calling you today. And that brings us to another important point in this story. And that is God brings us back when we lose our way. God brings us back when we lose our way. I was debating whether or not to ask you this question. I decided I'm going to go ahead and ask you. And I'm even going to be so bold as to ask you to raise your hand if this is true. How many of you went through confirmation this year because your parents really wanted you to? How many of you did that? Four have raised their hand. How many of you are not raising your hands because your parents are sitting behind you somewhere in the congregation right now? Yeah, a few more have kind of shyly gone up, yeah. I ask you that question because one of the things that concerns me as a pastor is less than one in three of you are going to be in the house of God by the time you graduate from high school. That burdens me. It burdens me that you might not stick around, not just in St. Luke's, but in your faith. Look to the person on your right. Look to the person on your left. Statistics say neither of them are going to be active in their faith by the time you graduate from high school. I thought about putting a big guilt trip on you, telling you how awful that would be if you ever wander away. I don't think it'd work anyway. I will say this. If you ever lose meaning in church, if it gets boring to you and you may already be there, come see me. Come see me. Say, Pastor Rob, here's why I'm finding it hard to stay in church, because I want to know that. But here's something I think that's more important than whether or not you stay in the church all the time. I think this is way more important, and that is if you ever wander off, that today you will remember something, that you always have something to come back to. You always have a spiritual home, and God says, you're welcome anytime. I'll never forget, ninth grade literature class. I didn't remember a thing sitting through a whole year of ninth grade literature, except the one day we talked about Robert Frost's poem, Death of a Hired Man. Anybody study that in high school? Death of a Hired Man. Never forget it. A man comes home from work one day. His wife meets him at the door and reminds him of the hired person they had come work at their home sometime before, who left them abruptly. And when he left, the husband said, you better not come back here again. Well, now he's sick. He's got nowhere else to turn to, and he comes back. And the wife meets him at the door and says he's home. And they go back and forth about whether or not he should stay there or not. And the wife says, he's looking for a home. And the husband says, a home? What's that? And the wife says, home is that place that when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Never forget, ninth grade literature, spending the rest of the morning talking about what did Robert Frost mean by that? Home is the place that when you have to go, there may come a time in your life that you find yourself having wandered away from what you committed to today. But it's going to mean something different. And you're going to remember something very important. You always have a home to come to. Look what was said by God to Jacob. Know that I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back. I'll bring you back. Jacob wandered away. He got caught up in life. Got married, started a family, had more relationship problems, got into big argument with his father-in-law, had to leave again. But this time, Jacob said, I want to go home. And when he was on the way home, he stopped again at Bethel. But notice what it says this time. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now, what did I say that El meant? El means God. Why is he renaming the place? Bethel means what? House of God. El Bethel, what does that mean? The God of the house of God. Why does he call it that? You see, because now Jacob is not committing to a place. He's committing to the God of that place. I hope in your life you'll come to a place where you'll remember this day and how special it was, but what you'll realize is you're not committing to this place. You're not committing to a building. You're not committing to be a name on a membership roll. You're committing to the God of the church. You're committing to the God of your life, because that's what we need most of all. We need something even more than the church. We need the God of that church, because God is our true home. God is our true home, and one day we all go home. And today you're making a significant step in that journey toward home. And you're recognizing one day the only thing we'll all have is the God of the house of God. I believe you're already making that discovery. I believe, as you'll see in this video, that these young people are well on their way to understanding what all this is about. So this video will be a good lead-in to our confirmation ritual, which we'll begin right at the end of it. Take a look.
Confirmation of St. Luke's is a very thorough process. I think Heather Campbell and other leaders in youth ministry have done a wonderful job of setting up the foundations of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to become a member of the church, what it means to be confirmed.
So when I first started confirmation, I didn't really want to do it. I thought that it was just gonna go to church, but now I realize it's more than just going to church. It's about becoming part of the church.
This retreat was the most impactful part of confirmation because Heather talked more in depth about things.
Water is everywhere in the Bible, and it's really symbolic in the Bible. And when we were recreating our baptism, I kind of felt that it's clean, it's refreshing, it's clear most of the time. I liked that when Heather said that little bit of light in the darkness can illuminate like everything, and that really like stuck out, and like that little bit of light can make a whole room brighten up.
When my friend laid their hands on me, it felt good because I know that I have other people who feel the same way, like close with God and Jesus.
This weekend has changed the way I think about God and my relationship with Him.
Many of them shared this weekend that they're glad they did it. They're glad they finally worked through it. They kept coming to church. They kept coming to the youth services. And it's really been a fulfilling experience to get to this capstone. They see that all the pieces have fit together in a new way to help them grow as Christians.
Confirmation means to me you're trusting God and God's trusting you.